The scripture reading today comes from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my load is light." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. In a recent sermon, we reflected on the gospel story about a man whose sight was restored by Jesus. It was a unique healing narrative in that after Jesus had spat in the man's eyes and touched him, the man could see well enough to make out people, but they looked like trees walking around. Only after the second touch by Jesus was the man able to see everything clearly. Upon having his sight completely restored, the man was told by Jesus not to go back into the village of Bethsaida. Wondering why Jesus would issue such a prohibition, we took a quick jaunt through the village to get acquainted with the folks and life in Bethsaida. We discovered that Bethsaida was the town of fishing, or the town of nets. It was located near the Sea of Galilee and was a hub of the fishing-based economy, a bustling village in its day. It might have been a place where industry and business, busyness, cast a spiritual blindness over Bethsaida and those who dwelled there that caused them to reject Jesus despite the miracles that he performed there. The disciples on other occasions are known to have desired and wished to call fire down from heaven to destroy cities that rejected Jesus. In this case, I can imagine Peter, James, and John climbing the Bethsaida water tower and displaying a little bit of their graffiti skills, maybe painting the Chinese pictograph of the word busy as an epitaph of the village, two characters meaning heart and kill. Jesus simply left town and told a man not to go back into the village. Well, that and the scathing words found immediately before this morning's scripture reading in verse 21 of that chapter. "How terrible it will be for you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles done among you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have changed their hearts and lives and put on funeral clothes and ashes a long time ago." Seeing the condemnation spoken by Jesus over the village of Bethsaida in the same context as this morning's scripture reading, it made me wonder. It made me wonder if Jesus was offering a second touch of grace to the village of Bethsaida. He had touched the blind man's eyes twice. Was this invitation a second touch of grace issued by Jesus, hoping Bethsaida would change their hearts and lives and turn from the busyness that was blinding their souls and killing their hearts? Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30 is described as one of the most tender, soothing passages in Scripture. Jesus is issuing a much needed invitation here, not only to the people of Bethsaida, but to people everywhere who are struggling hard and carrying heavy loads as a result of getting caught up in what some are calling accelerated time or the grind culture. Could Jesus be issuing us a second touch of grace, inviting us to come unto him and find the rest we need? The Greek word for rest here means refreshment or renewal, which, by the way, is the same translation of a word found in Exodus chapter 31, where it says, "In 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day the Lord rested and was refreshed." This word for refreshed, nephesh, literally means God exhaled. This rhythm of inhalation and exhalation was not reserved until the seventh day of creation narrative. At every juncture of creation, God acts, steps back, and rests. God invokes the light, separates it from the darkness, creating a conversational rhythm between light and dark, and steps back. And God saw that it was good. Then God makes a place for heaven and earth, separates the sea from the dry land, creating a tidal rhythm, and steps back. And God saw it was good. Then God made the sun and the moon, creating a seasonal rhythm. And stepping back, God saw that it was good. And so the story continues. Emptiness giving birth to form. Then God creates man and woman in the likeness of God. And God saw everything that had been made. And behold, it was very good. Eugene Peterson seems to capture this rhythmic aspect. Imagine it to be behind Jesus' invitation in his translation of today's scripture reading in The Message, which reads, "Are you tired, worn out? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." This rhythm of inhalation and exhalation, work and rest, are the self-sustaining rejuvenation for which our souls long. No new creation can come forth if we succumb to perpetual motion and busyness that leads to spiritual hyperventilation. Without the Sabbath exhale, the life-giving inhale is impossible. Biblical scholars make clear that verses 28 and 30 of Matthew chapter 11 are about Sabbath. Jesus is framing the Sabbath as less a set of rules and more a way of living that honors rest and work. Sabbath, Jesus said, to make it more clear, was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. We must exhale. We must hear and heed Jesus' invitation to go to him for the rest we need. Or, as Exodus 31 says, we must remember the Sabbath. Wayne Muller pointed out, "This is the only commandment that begins with the word remember, as if it refers to something we already know, but we have forgotten. In our hurry and worry and acquiring and working, we forget." While the Exodus text commands God worshipers to remember the Sabbath in commemoration of creation, when the commandments are repeated in the book of Deuteronomy, the commemoration of Sabbath is focused on Exodus, where the Israelites are freed from the relentless labor and productivity of the Pharaoh system, in which the people are enslaved and full of that anxiety that deprivation brings. God enters in and liberates them from this exhaustion, commanding that they take rest each week. Today, we essentially live in this self-made, insatiable Pharaoh system. We are not literally enslaved the way the Israelites were, but we are symbolically enslaved to a system which does not care for our well-being. The systems to which we have become enslaved, willingly or otherwise, are the source of the heavy loads that we are carrying. Systems that convince us we must be busy to be worthy, we must produce to matter, we must acquire to have value. Systems that are not only making us tired and weary, but systems that are destroying our lives. Jesus is calling us to go to him and promising to restore our lives. Belden Lane writes, "One of the great ironies of life is we don't seem to be able to give ourselves to what we desire most, try as we may." Sabbath reminds us that what we seek most is God alone, the God discovered in Sabbath emptiness and silence, the God who cannot be added to a grocery list or other happenings and thrills, who cannot be managed or comprehended, who can only be loved. Sabbath is a time for reminding us that what we love most we're least able to possess. Invitations to Sabbath come to us in a call to give ourselves to what we've been desiring most from the very beginning. A permission to enjoy what we've been wanting more than anything else in our lives. Sabbath rest is about creating and maintaining a rhythm that results in a more clearly focused on God's presence, whether we're at rest or at work. Did you notice that Jesus' invitation says as much about work as it does rest? Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. It's more than a matter of just finding a rhythm of work and rest that allows time for your body and soul to be replenished. It's also about finding rejuvenation through the work that you're doing. Sometimes there is still work to be done long after you feel the need to rest. You must find a way to refuel on the fly. That begins with pursuing your passion, that divinely appointed purpose which ignites a spark within you, setting you aflame, the very source of all creative power. The kind of weariness that we are feeling might need more than a good night's sleep, a three-day weekend, or even a relaxing vacation. Jesus is offering us a second touch of grace with this invitation, a grace that refreshes and renews our depleted and weary souls, a rest that restores our lives. Our kind of weariness can be lifted only by walking and working with Jesus, walking and working in love, with gentleness toward others and toward ourselves, walking in humility, watching and learning the unforced rhythms of grace. This is the refreshing, replenishing kind of rest that is promised to all who hear and heed Jesus' invitation to come unto him.